Hello and welcome to CX Today. My name is Charlie, and today I'm once again joined by Simon Adnett, VP of Sales at UK and Ireland / EMEA at Enchas Interactive. Simon, thanks very much for joining us. How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks. How about yourself, Charlie?
Yeah, all good, thanks. And I'm excited for today's conversation too. And this is a really interesting one around kind of why so many CCaaS customers are changing their providers. And this kind of talking point stems from some Metrigy research that found that 48.2% of companies now using cloud-based platforms, either for CCaaS or hosted or managed cloud-dedicated servers, are changing, planning to change, or evaluating a shift in providers by 2024. This was some research that was released a few months ago. But I was just wondering if it's kind of, does that align with what you're seeing in the space too, Simon?
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing there's definitely sort of a period of flux and change in that sense. I mean, that percentage, it seems high in the sense that that's a very high proportion, but we are seeing quite a few customers that have been using cloud platforms looking to either evaluate their strategy around that, or you know, what technologies they're consuming and whether there are other options out there for them. Yeah,
absolutely. And I suppose there was around this time, maybe earlier this year, there was kind of those COVID contracts almost, when a lot of people did originally move to CCaaS maybe three years ago, and those starting to come up from renewal, and that was maybe a key driver. But yeah, it's a quite surprising percentage, but yeah, it does kind of reflect some of those trends. Yeah. And two potential reasons that I've picked out, which could be key drivers for this, are arbitrary price increases and vendor lock-ins. Mm. Are those issues that you're seeing across the CCaaS space, especially?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think if you kind of look at what's happened around sort of SaaS in general, there's obviously been a big push from across the industry to try and get more subscribers onto platforms, and therefore, you know, there have been some very aggressive sort of competitive deals out there for companies. But obviously, there kind of comes a tipping point where some of those vendors are then kind of looking to capitalize on those customers that they've got on the platform, and maybe drive some more, you know, revenue out of customers that they've got on their platform. And that's, I think, where you're seeing these sort of price increases. And I think you touched on it a bit before when you mentioned around COVID, but I think that was such an unprecedented period of time, you know, not just in our industry, but across the country, you know, well, the globe, wasn't it? And, you know, people were making technology buying decisions out of necessity, you know, particularly where you had people that were maybe on more what you'd class as traditional on-prem contact centers, and were suddenly finding that actually their entire operation couldn't function. You know, they had no mechanism for these this workforce of agents that were sat at home to use the technology they had, because it was kind of locked in this ivory tower within their own internal infrastructure. And, you know, whether it was a limitation of the, you know, UC or voice platform they're on, or a limitation of the contact center, or in many cases just their own infrastructure access policies around, you know, VPN and external access, they had to make some pretty quick decisions around what they were going to do from a technology standpoint just to remain operational. And I think that did mean people were making decisions in a much quicker, and they just didn't have the time to do the level of due diligence that they would normally expect with that kind of a transformation project. And it was a change born out of necessity. But at the same time, you know, a lot of technology vendors were offering some great deals to try and make sure that they were the vendor that customers chose to kind of plug that hole in their operation. I think now, as customers have kind of matured in their use of those cloud technologies, and also, you know, the world has stabilized a bit in terms of how we're working, people are either going back into the office more, or this sort of remote virtualized working has become more standard business practice rather than exception, you know, people are now looking at, okay, what do we do next? Let's evaluate, you know, is what we've got the best technology for us? Or can we take the time to look elsewhere? And are we getting the best value for our money? Because, you know, some of those sort of early sweetheart deals are sort of coming to an end. And, you know, I think customers are looking that if we're going to make a longer term investment at a substantially higher value, we want to make sure we get the return on that investment.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of really interesting points from it within that kind of the initial rush to the cloud, those kind of sweetheart deals, kind of as you put it, and maybe not having the kind of the strategy that you'd normally put in place for such kind of a big move to the cloud, and you had to do it in such a quick time. And that's interesting to think about, kind of alongside the price increases that came thereafter, and those moves that vendors are making, maybe to lock in their customers, maybe through calling plans that are, you know, are very much based in their within their kind of threshold, and they're not kind of giving the numbers back, and those sort of moves. Which other reasons do you think do you believe that CCaaS customers, kind of aside from those, may want to swap their providers?
I think it kind of goes back to what I mentioned a little bit before, but I think, you know, people are looking at what more do they want to do with this cloud technology. So they will evaluate, you know, are we able to do the things going forwards that we want to do? Or are there sort of other new emerging technologies or things we want to consume within our organization? You know, whether that be more automation, not just through the use of technologies such as AI, but integration as well with line of business systems so that you can drive more general business automation, and whether the platforms they've got really offer them the flexibility to be able to do that. But I think also general service. I mean, one of the things, you know, we are hearing from customers is that, you know, they had these deployments and initially they were getting a lot of love and attention, and then that sort of died off over time, and they feel like maybe they're not getting the best out of the platform, but there's nobody there to help them do that either. And I think a lot of focus around SaaS solutions is put on, you know, platform uptime, you know, and what the SLAs are around that. But actually, you know, customer support is a lot more than that. It's about, you know, if you've got a query of how do I do this, or if you've got a minor niggle that something isn't doing what you want it to do, you know, you want engagement with the partner that you're working with, whether that's, you know, a value-added reseller or whether it's the vendor themselves, that they're going to help you with other transformations you want to do that may not necessarily be about, you know, subscribing to more services or buying more technology, but around sort of evolving what they've got. Because I think, you know, it's a big danger in our space that people think, you know, you sign up to a service or you buy a technology and then that's that transformation project done. Whereas to get the best out of contact centers and contact center technology, it's constant improvement, you know, in so many areas, and trying to squeeze every last drop of operational performance you can get out of the technology and the people that you've got there and the processes that go around that as well. And I think if you're not sort of working with your partners on that journey and you've got a plan for how you have that constant improvement, you kind of do a bit of a disservice to the original investment and plans you made, because I don't think, you know, a contact center technology is anything you ever put in and remain static. It should always be about what's the next improvement we can make, whether that's just purely through process and how we're using the technology, or whether it is about, you know, consuming additional technologies as well. And I think, you know, customers have found that they're maybe not necessarily getting that ongoing support that they expected, and that's another reason for change. Is okay, we know the technology exists out there, let's see if we can find somebody that will sort of work with us over a longer period of time rather than just deploy something and then disappear off into the sunset.
I think that's really an important point too, because how many times you kind of hear about channel partners maybe implementing a solution, doing it really well for the here and now, but not thinking about how easy it is to kind of adapt that solution over time. And then maybe somebody else comes into the business too, and they've kind of got to work backwards to understand kind of the IT software environment. And having that kind of extra layer of support, as you mentioned, services is so critical. And maybe that has been missing by the amount of stories like that that you do here. And I think also the other point that you mentioned was kind of was important too. You know, it's not only these sort of sinister reasons, perhaps maybe just the vendor hasn't evolved with the customer. It doesn't have that integration to their ERP, ITSM, or even, you know, UCaaS platform like Teams. Mm. So they can't kind of take advantage of all the opportunities that they see. So yeah, lots of really good stuff. But I do kind of want to kind of finish with, you know, obviously Simon, you work for a CCaaS vendor. Mm-hmm. So it'd be really great to hear your perspective on how kind of Enchaos, especially is ensuring to work, that it's delivering on its customer expectations and kind of isn't falling victim to a lot of these trends.
Yeah. I think for us, it's just talking to our customers and understanding feedback from them, because if I look at, you know, what drives our roadmap within Enchaos, you know, we are driven so much by what we hear from our customers and what they want to try and do, and we're always trying to understand from them, you know, the challenges they have, the aspirations they have for what they want to do going forwards, and that's sort of a big part of our customer success program. You know, we've got a huge global focus around customer success, and as part of that, you know, we have regular engagement with customers to kind of understand, you know, whether what they're using is working for them, whether they would like it to do more, whether there's things they would like to do but they're not sure how they can do that, and you know, that sort of feedback does two things really. It helps us understand if there are any other areas, you know, in our portfolio that we need to improve upon and the direction of travel we're taking there. But it also gives us an opportunity to say to customers, well, actually, you can do that. Let's work with you to help you get the most out of the platform. And we combine that, you know, with regular service reviews as well, so customers can look at the service we're providing them and hold us to account for that service as well. I think it's important for us to understand, you know, where we're doing things well, but where we're also not doing things so well, so we can improve on that. And I think, you know, that's something you only get through ongoing dialogue with your customers, really. So, you know, massive focus for us, and it really sort of drives what we do as an organization going forward.
Yeah, and I guess with a brand like Enchaos too, there's the element of just kind of how long you've been in the contact center industry as well, and how long you've had that feedback loop going, so you can kind of perfect your strategy over time. But I think lots of really great stuff. I think it's been a really interesting conversation. So yeah, thanks for joining me today, Simon.
Yeah, pleasure.
And also thanks everybody for watching. Bye for now.